Welcome to KPMG's podcast series on corporate ESG, environmental, social, and governance. I'm your host, Brett Weaver, head of KPMG's U.S. tax ESG practice and tax lead for our firm's Impact Solutions, or as we refer to it, KPMG Impact. At KPMG Impact, we understand the power of ESG to transform business. Our impact solutions enhance and empower your ESG initiatives. We assist clients to enhance trust, mitigate risk, unlock new value as they build in a sustainable future. In this new mini-series of podcasts focusing on tax ESG, my guests and I will explore the role of tax in a company's overall ESG strategy. Our topics will include an overview, setting the stage for how tax intersects with ESG. We'll explore the role of tax strategy, what good tax governance looks like, understanding tax transparency, and how companies are actually dealing with these new initiatives. We'll address sustainable finance and tax ESG due diligence. In our first episode, we will explore the intersection of tax and ESG, why it's gaining traction now, and we're going to discuss the tax ESG ecosystem, its key players, and how companies should actually be thinking about incorporating tax into their overall ESG strategy. I'm joined today by Manal Corwin, principal in charge of KPMG's Washington National Tax Practice, and by John Gimigliano, principal and head of our federal legislative group in KPMG's Washington National Tax Practice. We're fortunate to have both Manal and John with us today, given their previous roles in government around tax policy matters, and also the leading role that they have played with a number of large companies in helping them develop their overall approach to tax and ESG strategy. So with that introduction, welcome Manal and John. It's great to have you here. And let's just dive into our discussion today and look forward to hearing your insights. Let me ask first, John, maybe I'll start with you. A question we get all the time in talking about ESG and how tax fits into that with clients. As we look at ESG, we often refer to it as the three pillars, right? Environment and social and governance. Could you give us your thoughts in terms of how does tax fit into these different three pillars of ESG?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Brett. Glad to be here and talk about a topic that you and I and now we've talked about quite a bit over the last year. So this is a conversation I'm looking forward to having. You know, in terms of where does tax fit in ESG? Well, it does. I mean, I think if you're a tax person, you know that the tax system, the tax code, goes well beyond just the goal of raising revenue, right? If we step back and think about it at its most basic level, sure, tax system is designed to raise revenue. But we know that tax writers, that policymakers think of taxes more than that, as a way to drive behavior, to incentivize certain things or disincentivize certain other things. And that's certainly true in the ESG world. I mean, in each of those categories, E, S, and G, you can think about ways that the tax system plays. I mean, E is the easiest one, at least for me, is, you know, we've had things like, you know, the solar and wind tax credits for decades. They've been very influential in changing behavior and driving investment into those categories. So that one is a relatively easy one. You know, the social one is also, I think, if you think about things like the low-income housing tax credit or the new markets tax credit, it's there as well. But, you know, it's an interesting question how far we take this social thing. Is it really about, are we asking how much companies pay and to whom, and those are other discussions as well. And of course, the governance is always the key part. Is it's very easy to talk the talk, but walking the walk is a really important part of this. And so tax, you know, clearly fits in all of those categories. And if you think about it, I think it's abundantly clear, but a lot of people haven't taken a moment to really think about how tax plays in ESG. And I think that's why suddenly there's so much interest in the space, Brett.
Yeah, it's interesting, John. And has that been your experience as you're speaking with clients that often it is an aha moment of how tax fits into all of these pillars around ESG?
Yeah, obviously ESG is on the corporate agenda. It's just in very much so right now. And sometimes you find a tax function saying, you know, everybody around me is working on ESG. How do I get an oar in the water? You know, sometimes it's that, and sometimes that they're specifically being asked, what are you doing, either from inside the organization or from outside? And I know we'll talk about things like rating agencies and others as we go along, but these pressures are coming from both internally and externally, absolutely.
Yeah, that's very interesting, insightful. And I see the same thing in speaking with companies as well. And trying to really better understand how tax fits into ESG, Manal, I want to turn to you because, you know, as I've been with you and some of the discussions that you're leading with companies around ESG and tax, I know you've often said that the tax is unique in terms of everything you need to address around ESG, right? There's environment, there's supply chain, there's a number of things, right? You've mentioned that tax is unique because it's both a measure and a driver of sustainability. What do you mean by that? Could you kind of explain that concept?
Yeah, absolutely, Brett. And I think John, in walking through how tax and ESG intersect, really highlighted that. You have this concept that tax policy, it's very common to think of tax policy as a tool that governments use to drive behaviors in many cases. Even when, you know, there's an economist's perspective that, you know, tax should be neutral for economic decisions, there's still this notion that you can use tax policies, both, you know, carrots and sticks, to get certain kinds of behaviors. And that's been around for a very, very long time. And it's been around in the areas that we typically think of ESG areas, you know, getting to, you know, social issues, deductibility of charitable deductions, the ability to get credits for families, and now in the climate space. So tax policy is very much a tool that is used to drive ESG outcomes. And as we've seen this, the increase in focus on ESG, we are, and in particular on areas that are of concern to policymakers like the environment, you see an increased focus on the ability of deploying tax policy tools to drive outcomes in that space. But what we've also seen, and this is what makes it somewhat complex, is the increased focus on the tax behaviors of corporations as in and of itself a measure of sustainability. So investors and the public looking to how much tax a corporation pays as a reflection of their social contribution or, you know, their contribution to society, or looking at their behaviors, their decisions and attitudes about tax planning as a reflection of, you know, their citizenship, their corporate citizenship. And so those factors have now added a more complex dimension to the tax conversation, and concerns about reputational risk, concerns about making sure that companies are respected in terms of their tax practices and decisions. And then looking at this complicated notion of how much tax a company pays as a measure of social responsibility is complex because, again, tax policies can go in both directions. They, in certain cases, tax policies that drive sustainability are, if they're sticks, they could increase tax if you don't act in certain ways. And it may be a measure of wrongdoing, frankly, from a social or environmental perspective, or it could be that they're incentives. And so the effect of acting consistently with ESG outcomes might reduce tax. So the two things sometimes clash, but it's a really important area. And of course, transparency in tax matters comes at the core of sort of evaluating that concept of tax as a measure of sustainability.
Thanks, Mo. I mean, that's really fascinating as you walk through that, at least to me, right? You kind of walk through that, you know, this concept of how much tax you pay. And I guess, we've often referred to that as fair share, which seems like a little bit of a pressure to pay a little more tax, right? But this idea that, you know, that governments are using tax as a tool, as an incentive for behaviors of corporates, which seems to push down tax a little bit. Are you suggesting that really transparency is how you kind of explain how both of those are working? I mean, is that what you meant by the transparency comment?
Yeah, I think transparency has become an important aspect of this. And, you know, transparency fundamentally comes down to trust, you know, whether governments trust that corporations are complying with their tax obligations and reporting obligations. It's trust as from the public's perspective as to whether corporations are paying their fair share. And then, of course, it's trust as to whether the government and the systems of taxation are themselves fair. Transparency as to what tax corporations are paying has to be put in context of obviously what the rules are, and that important context then can help navigate this notion of sometimes taxes are reduced in order to drive desirable behaviors, and then sometimes tax policies, internal tax policies, and attitudes towards being a responsible tax citizen are also important to the public. So it's not simply a matter of revealing a number. It's a broader conversation about the attitude of the corporation about its tax obligations.
Right. Yeah. Well, great insights. And it's clear to me anyway, right, that it's a very complex area with different forces kind of pushing maybe in different directions. So explaining that is really tricky. And I could see how that's really an area that companies will need to invest in. So Manal, you raised a couple of points that I now want to turn to you, John, right? As Manal walked through that, right? She used words such as, corporate behaviors, about sustainable tax practices, et cetera. And that's clearly what ESG stakeholders are looking for from corporates around the tax base, is those types of things. Is there like one set of standards out there, John, to assess, what sustainable tax behaviors really look like?
Short answer is no. Part of the problem here is it's in the eye of the beholder, right? We're talking about different stakeholders with different views. And if there's maybe the biggest change, at least in my view, around ESG and tax, is the way we've redefined the stakeholders in the tax space as, for example, not just shareholders. Right? But now we talk about it in so much broader terms who potential stakeholders are. And each stakeholder could potentially have a different point of view as to what good looks like, as you're suggesting. So that's part of the problem, is there's no one standard. Now, of course, there are efforts to get uniformity or standardization around ESG, and we're getting there. I think we've got a long way to go. You do have these external rating agencies out there. They've been around in the ESG space forever. I think they're newer in the tax space. And one of the challenges is that, what are they measuring against, right? Is it simply effective tax rate? Is it how much you pay? Is it relative to whom? What are your, peer group, what are your peers in this, instance? And it's very challenging. I think it's very challenging for companies to determine what good looks like when they're getting input from so many different sources as to what kind of criteria people are looking for. So it's a challenge, but hopefully we're making progress and coming closer to some agreed upon standard around what good in the ESG space might look like.
Right. So what I hear, right, at some point in the future, we may actually get to where we have one rule book, and that'll make life a lot easier for companies. I hear that we're not there yet. There are still multiple standards, rating agencies, they're asking for different things, right? They're using different criteria, et cetera. I'd like to turn to both of you. Maybe Manal, I'll start with you first. What advice do you have with companies? If there are so many standards out there, what advice do you have in terms of how do they approach this, right? And developing their own story about the fact that they do have sustainable tax practices.
Well, I think the most important thing, for every company, they're going to have to think about their own stakeholders and the investor, if there are investor community that is of particular interest. But most importantly, I think it is determining for themselves what type of standards they would like to adhere to, use that as a guideline, and think about how they want to then message that to their stakeholders, whether in a public way or just in terms of internal communications.
Right. Yeah. Customize it to what's important for the company. That makes sense. Exactly. Yeah. John, your thoughts?
Well, again, it's exactly that. I mean, I think Manal said it, right? It's, what is important to you? Part of that may depend upon which stakeholder group is most important to you, right? It may not be investors. It may be employees, or it may be your customers, right? So you might get a different outcome depending on, who you're really talking to, as you said about your ESG, mission. So it's challenging. And again, I think you have to be prepared that you may not be able to make everybody happy all at once, that one stakeholder might penalize you for taking advantage of a tax incentive for example, investing in solar or wind. But another one might say that's a great thing. And so, again, these are the, you know, difficult decisions that I think every company has to make. And I think the only way you can make it is to say, well, who are we? What do we stand for? And what are our principal goals?
That's great, John. In fact, that's really well said. You know, as you talk about really understanding, and maybe it's a bit of a self-discovery journey, right? Like, who am I? What do I stand for? Particularly in the tax space. Yeah, that makes me think of, you know, one of the requirements that's pretty uniformly held out by standard setters and rating agencies, and that is a tax strategy, or sometimes referred to as a tax policy, right? And so that's something that all stakeholders are looking for in the ESG space, is for a company to issue a public tax strategy. Manal, let me turn to you. I mean, from your perspective, you know, what does a robust and a good, you know, tax strategy actually look like? What would it contain?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think maybe it's important just to start with, there is not a one size fits all here. But there are some characteristics that I think all strategies, good strategies, would have. I think the first is that the strategy sets out the standards and values that are going to inform the tax decisions of the corporation, and that there's a common understanding of those standards and values or guardrails the corporation is going to adhere to. Then the strategy, sort of in order to get to those standards and values, is going to need to establish a tax risk tolerance, because obviously, you know, the rules, as we all know, they're not straightforward. There are decisions that have to be made and choices that are being made. And what is the risk tolerance of the M&E, the multinational, with respect to taxation? And that needs to be incorporated into the strategy. And it needs to be commonly understood. And importantly, if you're going to have a strategy that sets out standards and values that will inform tax decisions, what sorts of governance and controls are there going to be with respect to adherence to that? And the strategy should incorporate an outline of those controls and governance tools. With respect to transparency, that's always one, and this is where, you know, again, the one size fits all is an issue for most companies, particularly as to where we are on the tax and ESG journey. There is a perspective that if you're going to put out a tax strategy, that you want to be transparent about that and actually, you know, maybe publish your tax strategy. But for some companies, that's still not where they are. They want to have an internal tax strategy. They want to make sure that it's understood within the organization, but don't at this moment feel the need to have that be a public strategy. But the position on transparency, both with respect to transparency of what the strategy is, which is increasingly, I think, becoming important for that to be public, but the strategy itself may also lay out a point of view on transparency with respect to the amount of tax paid, which is a much more debated, and you see various companies taking different positions on that kind of transparency. But those are, Brett, the typical things that you need to see in a strategy for it to be effective.
Yeah, that's actually a lot of content, right? It becomes clear to me that a tax strategy, at least from the eyes of ESG stakeholders, is not, you know, simply one or two paragraphs. There's a lot to cover in a document such as you described. Manal, I'd like to pick up on the point you mentioned there of, you know, tax transparency, that it's not only about, you know, disclosing your approach to tax, but also, you know, this push for disclosure around tax payment detail. I think, as we all know, most U.S. companies don't provide that level of detail publicly. Manal, do you see that changing in the future?
Well, there's definitely increasing pressure and coming from the public, and, you know, probably much higher outside the U.S. at the moment than inside the U.S., to move towards public reporting of tax contributions. And we're seeing that pressure get converted to legislative actions. And very notably in the EU, they've now passed an accounting directive that calls for public country-by-country reporting of tax information. We know that there had previously been, in the earlier stages of the transparency movement, a requirement for multinationals to report country-by-country tax information for exchange with tax administrations so that there was transparency across the globe of where they're operating. But it wasn't that report was not a public report. And now what we've seen is the EU pretty much follow the same outlines of that report, but call for a requirement that that be public. The information that's being asked, you know, things like taxes paid, accrued, profit, turnover, employees, a whole host of information. The requirements in the EU right now are limited to that level of detail about EU member countries, so corporations resident in those countries. Some separate information for gray-listed jurisdictions or non-cooperative jurisdictions. And then with respect to operations of an entity that's operating in the EU but has operations all over the world, aggregate reporting. So the impact of that is to see as you've got parts of the world, and notably the EU here, moving towards legislating a requirement for transparency on the amount of tax being paid, and you know, query whether you see that legislative mandate move expand more broadly to other jurisdictions. We've had a couple of proposals in Congress in the U.S. That suggested that would be something that at least certain lawmakers would desire, but that they haven't gotten traction here in the U.S. But whether it becomes a legislative mandate eventually, you know, any company operating globally is going to have to consider the fact that there is, you know, in certain parts of the world, that there is going to be this ask for public reporting of tax information. So as a result, I think we are seeing companies thinking about, you know, voluntarily making those disclosures, you know, without regard to whether they're legally required or not, partly because there's a decision that is a desirable outcome for their stakeholders, partly because investors are demanding it and wanting to sort of control the release of that information rather than have it be something that emerges, you know, in pieces through an EU disclosure with respect to part of their operations. So it is definitely an emerging trend, and I think something all companies are going to have to consider very carefully as to whether they want to take that step voluntarily.
Can I just add there, Brett? You know, look, if you're listening, you think, well, you know, the things you Manal just talked about, yeah, that's a European thing, right? You know, that we don't have to worry about it here in the U.S. I mean, yes, Manal outlined that the U.S. Congress had pushed on this, you know, an effort on public country-by-country reporting, and no, it did not happen. It did not become law. But as somebody that follows Congress for a living, I mean, the fact that this passed the House, to me, was kind of unthinkable, you know, that you'd have the federal government mandating the public disclosure of this information. It was kind of unthinkable just a couple of years ago, and the fact that it's now passed the House of Representatives, I mean, that is a major change in the U.S., and, you know, we may get there someday, even if we're not, though, but it is an indication of how quickly the environment around us is changing.
Yeah, thanks, John, and Manal as well, right? I mean, I think what you walked through there really shows there's a lot of momentum behind this direction of travel, right? I mean, the EU actually passing it, the U.S. coming close, you know, who knows what the future is going to, you know, entail as it relates to that. So fascinating discussion. I want to just wrap up with maybe one question to the both of you, and I'll start with you, John. You know, we talked about the intersection of tax and ESG, and through this discussion, to me, it seems like it's a pretty big intersection. But I'd be curious of your perspective, right? So we talked about what's been happening. As you look out over the next 24 months, you know, what do you see for the near future around tax and its intersection with ESG?
Well, I think the one thing that we're seeing already, right, and I think the pace that this is going to continue and increase is the development of a tax strategy and maybe, you know, getting to the point of making it public. I mean, when you went through and Manal went through in a very thoughtful way, what is in, you know, developing a tax strategy? I don't know if you all disagree, but I think a lot of companies have that already. I mean, these are not completely foreign concepts to a lot of tax departments. They perhaps are not thinking about it in quite the same way and not, you know, documenting it in the same way. But I think in a lot of cases, a lot of companies have this already. It's just taking that next step to getting it to be a coherent, combined tax strategy and then making it public, I think is one of the things we are going to see more and more. And, you know, if I look for 24 months, I think that very much will be the norm.
Yeah, makes sense. Perfect sense. But all your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with John. I think we're going to see an increased focus on this. I don't think it's going away. I think that as companies, I mean, tax is complicated, and we all know that. And that's why this intersection, you know, of tax both as a measure and a driver of sustainability makes the conversation about transparency and what story does how much tax is paid in a particular jurisdiction tell about the company. And I think increasingly companies are realizing that that context can only be provided by the company itself, and that that businesses are in the best position to create context around a public tax report, and that context may include more than just how much tax is paid or income tax is paid, but a broader sense of total tax contribution or total economic contribution tells the fuller story. And so I think you will see more and more companies thinking about that as to how to make sure that the information and that the transparency has context so that it in fact is, you know, creates clarity around the corporation's behavior. And that's really, really important. One other thing I think we may see, and we see this in the ESG area more broadly, Brett, is whether regulators and, you know, here the SEC, particularly with respect to public companies, start wanting to have a single standard of measurement or want some form of attestation with respect to the reporting, and whether that reporting is with respect to broader ESG considerations, you know, if it happens with respect to broader ESG issues, it would not be unreasonable to think that those standards around reporting in the tax space may also emerge. So that's another area to look for, is to see how this becomes regulated.
Well, thanks. Go ahead, John. Yeah.
Brett, can I add just one thing that I hope we see in 24 months? I'm not convinced we will, but at least I hope, and, you know, if we get a chance to what we would wish for, and that is that the rating agencies candidly become more sophisticated in the way they think about tax. Look, we know tax is complicated, right? It's complicated for us to do it every day for a living. So, of course, it's complicated for them to figure out how to measure tax. So I would like for them to continue to think about what is important from a tax point of view, number one. And I think work with the business community, who are willing participants in this matter, work with the business community, corporations, to say what is important and how should we measure it for purposes of rating.
Thanks, John, and Manal as well. I mean, actually, great wrap-up as you guys were setting out what you might see over the next 24 months. A lot to unpack in what you just said. I think there's a lot of things I put on my watch list of things that we should be looking for the next 24 months. I think there's a lot to unpack in what you said, if I'm a VP of tax, in terms of things I ought to be doing now to prepare for that near-term future. So, John and Manal, I'd like to thank you for your participation in our podcast today. We're very fortunate to have both of you on to kind of set the stage for our podcast series. You know, given your past experience with the government, your ongoing experience with a lot of the trade associations and the ESG standard setters, et cetera, and your work with corporations, you bring a very unique insight to this emerging area. So I'd really like to thank you for taking time to be with us today. And for our audience, please join me next time on our Tax ESG podcast series, where we'll do a deep dive on publishing a group-wide global tax strategy document. We kind of set the stage for that today, but we'll go deeper into that in that series. If you have any questions or would like to contact someone at KPMG on ESG matters, please email me, Brett Weaver, at baweaver@kpmg.com. And please do visit us at visit.kpmg.us/impact. and sign up for our ESG alerts to get the latest insights on ESG and tax as well. Thank you for joining us today, and have an outstanding day.